So how does somebody look for the gaps in their own training so that they can enhance their weaknesses and maintain their strengths?
Have things that you know you can do normally.
Yep.
And when you're warming up, if you can't achieve those things, then change your session. If you miss them things out long enough, you get away with it maybe for a year, 2 years, maybe even 5 years. And then all of a sudden, it's bam, ow, this hurts, bam, ow, that hurts. And that's why you see some people that are crazy fit, ripped, they've 12 packs, everything. They're super, super duper fit. And it's like, why am I sore all the time? It's just because you've missed that element of mobility.
I realized, well, you can actually be strong if you're limited in your range. But if you only have range, you can't be strong. It's time to
stretch and stretch. Welcome to You Can Fix You, giving you mobility tips to build movement freedom and train with confidence.
Episode 7.
Oh.
Better mobility equals better performance?
Is that a statement or is it a sentence? Or is it a question?
Yes.
I messed it up.
Wow, we're really firing on all cylinders today, Tom.
Oh, dear.
Do you know if you get a question mark and an exclamation point beside each other, it's called an interrobang?
Oh, wow. Yeah. This is a second take.
We'll just cut that out.
I didn't know, but JP told me, but then the camera stopped working, so I had to restart. So yes, an interrobang.
An interrobang.
What a phrase.
It's like one of my favorite words. It's very unusual.
You just got banged.
Interrobang. Interrobang. Interrobang?
So.
Yes. So the three questions we're going to look at today: why does better mobility mean better performance, if it does? How to look for gaps in your own training, and how to use mobility work to assess your body.
Oh, yeah. So number one, why does better mobility mean better performance? Well, it means better recovery, less soreness when you move, and you move more efficiently.
But so why, Tom?
Because you're not grinding your joints to oblivion.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those things, when you start something new, you don't realize what, again, like very first, like episode one, you don't know what you don't know. Mm. And it's not until you start running the little issues, you're like, oh, here, my hip doesn't move this way. Or when I'm doing this movement, my back's not straight. It's when you start realizing those things and you start to improve your mobility around those things, then you're able to move better. And then you get more bang for your buck with your strength work. So you're actually able to get stronger without actually hurting yourself. And one of the biggest things about having good mobility and making your recovery better is that you can actually cope with your training. That's a big thing. It's not just about pushing yourself. You need to be able to cope with it as well.
Yeah, well, especially if you're looking at the joints when they're under less pressure, you don't want the joint to be the limiting factor in your training. So if you've got that access to the full range of movement, you're not just grinding down that one spot. And yeah, your body just has less things to try to heal up after a session.
Yeah, and that was for me, especially with my, because my hip mobility was so poor when I was trying to do CrossFit workouts, for example. Like every squat I was doing, one I was leaning forwards, one my knee was caving in, one my back was rounding. every rep looked different, and it was like I was just trying my best to fight to stay upright.
Yeah.
And it was just so inefficient. And like people would be able to bang out sets of like say 50 wall balls. They were able to do squat. I was doing 10, and like
you can't do 50 wall balls without stopping.
Can't do 50 without stopping. But yeah, I was having to stop and like shake my legs and be like, oh, and then like at the end of the session, my knee's sore, you know, and it just wasn't a nice way to train, you know. And I was like, I hate that workout. It's a rubbish workout. But no, I was a rubbish person.
Oh, wow.
No, wait.
Straight to the heart.
Rubbish mobility, not a rubbish person. But I just couldn't cope with high rep squats because I didn't have a good squat yet.
Yeah.
And what I found after fixing my hips is whenever I started to do movements, I felt stronger during them as well. So like I was getting more from every rep. So like my glutes were firing better. My hamstrings felt stronger. You know, I felt like my quads could actually take the load properly rather than just like trying to hold me upright, you know? So having a problem with your microphone there, JP?
Just keeps drifting forwards. So like I always thought about this from the other point of view as well, where when you're looking to improve your performance, have you ever seen those videos of like the sprinters and they get somebody to tie like a band around their waist and then they go pelting it, but this person's pulling the back?
Yeah.
That to me is bad mobility. So when you're doing a movement, if your muscles and your joints are tight and restricted, you're having to do more work to overcome
yeah.
those muscles. So you're actually, you're working twice as hard for half the results.
Yeah.
Where when you have full access to your range, the muscle that's supposed to do the work can do all of the work. So 100% of its effort can be put into the performance rather than 50% being spent working against yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, uphill battle. We don't want that.
So, No.
And so it's just that thing about, you know, treating your training as a whole. So it's not just, you know, go as hard as you can and try and like smash every workout and everything. Mm-hmm. It's like, what can you do to support that? So improving your mobility, making sure, and as well, like a full part of mobility as well is like your stability as well. So it's not just some people can be too flexible too. So it's like really like figure out how to create tension also.
Oh,
so it's not just enough. So for people that can actually bounce up and down in and out of a squat, it's like, can you do that with good tension as well? So that you're actually going to be making your body strong rather than just, you know, send your joints for a wee way.
Well, that's what I spent the past sort of 6 years kind of working on is, like from rowing, I worked on my flexibility because that's like, you need good flexibility. That's the information I had at the time. And really, I wasn't improving the strength in correlation to it. It's only when I started looking at gymnastic strength training, I realized, well, you can actually be strong if you're limited in your range, but if you only have range, you can't be strong. So it's building them both up at the same time. So then with the squats especially, I've had to work at not bottoming out, is trying to hold that tension. A lot of those disgusting isometric holds. And I even played around with like squeezing the muscle and then holding the squeeze as I go down. So like you see somebody do a bicep flex, it's like get the flex and then hold the flex as you come down. And that's been the only way I've really managed to connect with like hamstrings and stuff with certain movements, especially squats. But yeah, it's a tough road if you're going from bendy to strong, as I'm sure it was going from being strong to being somewhat bendy.
I know, because I never found it hard to create tension. The tension was already there for me. It was more like my joints literally wouldn't move that way. It was like, what do you do? Like, just do this. And I'm like, I can't. I physically can't do that. It's like, it's all well and good for you, but it doesn't move it doesn't that work. Way. So yeah, it was just like just building it from a different angle. But yeah, tension was something that I never struggled to be able to create. So I guess there's just pros and cons to everything. So it's all about building the tension if you're very, very flexible. But if you're inflexible, it's about, you know, achieving the range. So then your natural attributes that you do find easier will then come into play, which is really, really good. You know, it's motivating that way.
So how does somebody, if they are looking at their training and they're trying to establish, am I one category or the other, or am I somewhere in the middle, how do they look for the gaps in their own training so that they can enhance their weaknesses and maintain their strengths?
All sports are made up. So
what?
We made them
like
up.
Words.
We went, these, you know, 5 or 10 movements or whatever, this is what this sport is and this is what we do. So you have to think of yourself as a body first before you actually start to enjoy your sport. And you want to give your body the stuff that it likes to actually do. So you want to think about your joint mobility, your flexibility and your stability and all of that stuff as a whole. And that's what's going to allow you to then overload those other patterns in your sport. So the thing you actually enjoy doing, and that's why it's so worth doing, because again, if you miss them things out long enough, you get away with it maybe for a year, 2 years, maybe even 5 years. And then all of a sudden it's bam, ow, this hurts. Bam, ow, that hurts. Ah, I need to take 6 weeks off. Ah, no, I have to sit out in that program. Ah, I can't finish this program. And you just get stuck in this cycle. Whereas if you had been working on all that stuff earlier on before, you know, because people wait until they get injured and it's like, oh, go to the physio and get the exercise I should have been doing for the past five years, you know? So it's so important to treat your body first.
I've never done that.
I've never done that 100 times.
Yeah. I don't keep making that same mistake. I think that's a really good point, is that it is a body first. And sport is so unique to each. Each sport has a unique demands, and CrossFit actually did this really well. They came up with this pyramid, which is a theoretical hierarchy of fitness. Along the bottom is nutrition, because that's how you fuel your body. That's how it runs. It's like putting fuel in a car. Then next above that was metabolic conditioning. So basically, can your heart provide your body with enough oxygen when it's under work? Then above that came gymnastics, which is controlling your own body through space. After that came weightlifting, which is controlling an external object.
Ooh.
And then above that was sport, which is very specific. It's almost skill-based, because if all the physical prep is done, then it's just tailoring those needs to the individual sport.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool pyramid. You should check it out.
Yeah, I might even pop up a
Ooh.
Or have I just cursed myself with more work?
That's not helpful for anyone listening.
No, it's really not.
Yeah, go to Google hierarchy of fitness.
Yeah.
So it's just some examples, like in terms of like rowing. So talk us through like what is rowing, and so how can you counteract that?
Sure. So rowing is a sitting down sport, aka it's very unathletic. Yes, you are very fit as a result of it, but because you're sitting down, you're not weight bearing your joints, and depending on which type you do, you're either rotating out to one side or the other, or you're uneven in your hands. So yes, you're balanced, you're not rotating, but you've got slightly uneven load through your shoulders. But essentially, it's a strong leg drive, a partially open hip, followed by a bit of retraction through
that. A partially open hip, so what would that mean?
So if you're standing up tall with your bum squeezed, that's a fully open hip. Partially open is that if you're sitting on your bum and then you lean back about 10 degrees, that's a partially open hip. So you're constantly in this like short hip flexor, not fully engaged rear end. And what you find is a lot of rowers have like, if you look at their lower back, it's just like focused on one point. I don't know why I'm visually describing this if it's an audio podcast. But yeah, it's like where your spine should kind of move in a nice smooth curve. It's like a straight line and then a bulge and then a straight line. So because the hip isn't fully open or it's not fully functioning, other parts of your spine then take a lot of the load. So that's why a lot of back issues come in there. And if we add rotation into that, it's just a pressure point.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of back injuries. And for some guys, and girls, a lot of knee injuries, because same idea, you're never really getting that full range of movement. It's all that partial range. Also, if you think about rowing, you're looking at somewhere between 18 strokes per minute and 36 strokes per minute, or maybe even higher if you're racing. But your session is going to be 90 minutes or more. That's a lot of repeated movements. So like golf, you're taking one swing and then you're walking 20 minutes.
That's a powerful swing.
Yeah, it's like, it'll be 3 minutes. 20 seconds. So yeah, it's that extreme repetitive movement, which a lot of sports are, but it just takes a toll. The more you repeat something, the more it becomes ingrained and the harder it is then to counteract that.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, if you're running around if you're spending the majority of your time with a partially opened hip, we need a fully opened hip. So that's the kind of idea that you're looking at. So look at the positions you're in and offset that with your mobility work. So something great for that. Hip flexor stretches, getting into a good extended position and using your glutes in that fully extended position as well. So hitting that in your warm-ups, in your cool-downs, really effective. And for the upper back, if you've always got that rotation to the one side, do a bit of rotation to the other side. You don't need to then do 10,000 reps to the other side,
but for sure,
it's just so you have at least both some of the time, and that's how you're going to like offset a lot of stuff. So
the other two sports that are very similar are actually cycling and running, because both have partial ranges. So in cycling, you're always sitting over in that closed hip, and your legs never fully go straight, so you tend to find a lot of really tight hamstrings, a lot of really tight hips, and couch stretch and some really nice like single leg deadlifts and stuff like that can really go a long way to keep those muscles active through their full range.
Yeah.
And runners as well. It's like the highest injury rate of any sport. Crazy. It's, was it like 80% or something runners get injured?
I have no idea.
It's
worth a Google.
It's a horrifying statistic. But it doesn't have to be that way. And just, again, some simple exercises to counteract that impact.
And it is with running especially, it's so partial range. Like none of your joints are getting fully to any point, you know, any extreme at all. You know, and that's why you see some people that are crazy fit, ripped, they've 12 packs, everything, so fit, could run all day long
on each
On each arm. 12 packs on each arm.
They
could train all day long, they're super super duper fit, and it's like, why am I sore all the time? It's just because you've missed that element of mobility. So how do you use mobility to assess your body? I like SMM.
What a surprising
fact.
It's
so strange. But the main premise of that, like for me, was like, okay, what can I do when I feel great? What can I normally do? And when I'm warming up, can I do that? Whereas if I am warming up and I can normally say pass the deep lunge test, or say just we'll do a stand and toe touch. If I can normally touch my toes with straight legs and I'm warming up and I can do that, great. Biomechanical feedback terms, if you bend over to try and touch your toes and you're like, oh, and you're like, you know, halfway up at the shins, and you try and move around and warm up, and that just doesn't improve, that's the way that your body's telling you, like, here, I need to chill out, dude. You've been going hard at it. So it's a nice way, have things that you know you can do normally.
Yep.
And when you're warming up, if you can't achieve those things, then change your session. Don't be going for a max. Don't be pushing yourself. You know, your body's trying to tell you it's tired. If you can't warm up and regain them ranges, then you need to have that extra rest.
And especially sports that are, and any activity that's single-sided, so throwing, batting, hitting, whatever, checking for differences side to side is so key. So having those movements that require stability through one side while still engaging everything is super key, like the single leg loop bridge, your zenith rotations. I definitely, even to this day, I still find I have way more rotation on one side than the other. It's almost like I spent 10 years rotating out to one side. when I was rowing, we had a functional screen, or a, I can't remember what it's called, but similar to SMM, it just wasn't quite as complete, unfortunately. So things still slipped through the cracks, but it was just a general idea of like, are you rotating this way, rotating that way, a lot of lunges and that kind of thing to get things working.
So there is a way you can use mobility work to also keep yourself in check. So it's not just do the boring stretches to keep yourself moving good. It's also something you can use as a valuable tool for your training.
And especially like if you're doing it in your warm-up, you're getting that mobility training in each session. And it doesn't, as you say, it's not static stretches we're doing here. It's very dynamic movements. So you're warming up as you do them. So it's like a win-win.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to think as hard about, oh, how am I going to warm up? And you don't have to think as hard about, oh, what exercises can I do to improve my mobility? It's like, let's just do them both at the same time.
So we're going to our win.
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah. Trisha.
So this is just a lovely thing to round this all up. I've been doing SMM religiously for 18 months, and I have gone from being a runner with lots of little niggles, so aches and pains, little things like that, and also being 48 and menopausal, to running my fastest marathon in 9 years today. So 9 years older and PR in your marathon time. Wow.
Yeah, so like that's incredible. 39 to 48. Yeah. And you're now faster.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom Morrison. You made me strong again. Chester Marathon, 3 hours and 35
That's
minutes.
Fast.
Yeah.
That's really fast.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, but it's just that, you know, exactly like work on your mobility. It is going to help. It's going to make every step you make better. So it's just.
That's awesome.
Such a good thing. So that was a lovely win to kind
good
of
job,
round
Trisha.
This one off. Good
Fantastic.
Job,
Trisha. Yeah. Keep it up.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that.
Kapow. Pow. That's us.
Wow. That was incredible. I enjoyed that podcast, and I hope you did too. If you'd like to find out more, head over to tommorrison.uk.